In today's news headlines, President Donald Trump spent the weekend in Japan, visiting Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, playing golf and eating cheeseburgers, and dropping diplomatic bombs. On Saturday, he tweeted, "North Korea fired off some small weapons, which disturbed some of my people and others, but not me. I have confidence that Chairman Kim will keep his promise to me," and also smiled when he called Swamp Man Joe Biden a low IQ individual and worse. "Perhaps that's sending me a signal?" The tweet referred to North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and the man Trump considers his biggest political rival here in the U.S., former Vice President Joe Biden. Then, during a news conference with Mr. Abe, Trump contradicted his own national security advisor, John Bolton, about North Korea's nuclear testing, saying he, quote, "personally didn't believe they violated U.N. Security Council resolutions," and that he thought Mr. Kim was a, quote, "very smart man." According to the Washington Post, quote, "Trump also seemed to side with Kim and his repressive regime over Biden, violating an unofficial rule of the presidential behavior that partisan politics stops on foreign soil." Asked about a tweet in which Trump appreciatively recounted North Korea state media calling Biden a fool of low IQ, the president simply doubled down on the insult. And when asked about Iran, Trump said, "We're not looking for regime change. I just want to make that clear. We're looking for no nuclear weapons." In unrelated news, a 51-year-old man just outside Tokyo attacked a group of school children with knives, killing an 11-year-old child and another adult, and injuring 17 others before stabbing himself to death. No motive is yet known. In other international news, European Union Parliament elections were held over the weekend, with more than 50% of voters showing up at the polls in what are considered the largest elections after India's. The political power long held by Europe's centrist parties faded as nationalist right-wing parties gained some ground, while left-leaning parties surged, especially the European Greens. In France, England, and Italy in particular, right-wing, nationalist, and racist anti-immigrant forces won big. France's Marine Le Pen edged out President Emmanuel Macron's party. In the UK, Nigel Farage, who led the Brexit movement, won big. And in Italy, Deputy Prime Minister Matteo Salvini's party was victorious. Still, the right's gains were not as big as initially predicted, and by themselves cannot effect as much change in Europe as they had hoped. The Washington Post explained the far right captured about a quarter of the seats, up from a fifth, enough to entrench their angry voices of protest and cause trouble in the legislature, but not enough to actually enact an agenda. Green Party wins were higher than expected, indicating voters' strong pro-climate agenda and turning them into potential kingmakers as centrist parties vie for their support in coalition building. Meanwhile, climate justice teen activist Greta Thunberg spoke to European leaders in Vienna, Austria on Tuesday at a climate summit.
"During the last months, millions of children have been school striking for the climate, gaining lots of attention for the climate crisis. But we children are not leaders, nor are the scientists, unfortunately. But many of you here today are. Presidents, celebrities, politicians, CEOs, and journalists. People listen to you. They are influenced by you. And therefore, you have an enormous responsibility. And let's be honest, this is a responsibility that most of you have failed to take."
That's Greta Thunberg, Swedish climate activist, addressing European political leaders at a climate summit in Vienna, Austria, on Tuesday. Here in the U.S., in dire warnings of a changing climate, tornadoes ripped through the Midwestern states of Ohio and Indiana, causing chaos, destruction, and even death on Monday night into Tuesday morning. An 81-year-old man near Dayton, Ohio, was killed after a car slammed into his home, lifted up by the storms. More than half a dozen people have been injured. About six tornadoes slammed into eastern Iowa on Monday afternoon, devastating structures. According to CNN, Tuesday threatens more of the same, including possible severe storms in the plains, south, Midwest, and northeast. Additionally, there is dangerous flooding in many states and a suffocating heat wave in the southeast. As Americans are struggling with the impacts of climate change, the New York Times on Monday revealed that the Trump administration was planning to, quote, undermine the very science on which climate change policy rests. Specifically, parts of the federal government will no longer fulfill what scientists say is one of the most urgent jobs of climate science studies, reporting on the future effects of a rapidly warming planet and presenting a picture of what the Earth could look like by the end of the century if the global economy continues to emit heat-trapping carbon dioxide pollution from burning fossil fuels. The Times also pointed out that the administration's prime target has been the National Climate Assessment. The U.S. Supreme Court on Tuesday made a compromise ruling on an Indiana anti-abortion law that Vice President Mike Pence had signed when he was governor of that state. Justices allowed a portion of the law that centered on the disposal of fetal tissue from abortions, but declined to take up the restrictions that anti-abortionists were counting on being challenged. Meanwhile, Planned Parenthood announced on Tuesday that in Missouri, that state's last abortion clinic is on the verge of shutting down. According to Associated Press, the current license for the St. Louis facility expires Friday. If not renewed, the organization said Missouri would become the first state without a functioning abortion clinic since the 1973 Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision. President Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner is in the Middle East this week, hoping Morocco's king will back his as-yet secret peace plan for Israel and Palestine. The White House simply announced that Kushner's trip, quote, is part of our ongoing efforts to achieve peace between Israel and the Palestinians, but gave no additional information. And inside Israel, Knesset members took steps to begin dissolving parliament on Monday, laying the groundwork for new snap elections. Fresh from winning re-election as Prime Minister, Mr. Benjamin Netanyahu has so far failed to form a government between various political parties. He faces a Wednesday night deadline to form a new government or call for elections. And in other Middle East news, Trump late last week approved $8 billion worth of weapons sales to Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Jordan, circumventing congressional approval using a little-known federal law. Trump used tensions with Iran to justify the weapons sale, but critics fear that the Saudis and Emiratis will deploy them in Yemen. UNICEF announced on Sunday that in the past 10 days, Saudi airstrikes killed or injured 27 children in Yemen. UNICEF's executive director, Henrietta Fore, said, "Nowhere is safe for children in Yemen. The conflict is haunting them in their homes, schools, and playgrounds." Congress had passed a law curbing U.S. support to the Saudi-led war, but Trump vetoed that measure. And finally, U.S. representatives walked out of an international conference on disarmament on Tuesday. The move was in protest of Venezuela's government presiding over the proceedings as temporary rotating chair of the summit. The U.S. has openly led an effort to oust Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro. And that does it for our news headlines today.